Let us thank and pray. Holy and righteous God, we, thy dear children, have gathered here this evening to be in the presence of thy holy congregation and to be in the hearing and the listening unto thy holy word. Dear Father, we have that age-old prayer that thou would be present with us through thy Spirit, and that through thy Spirit thy word would be opened unto us, that we could receive that nourishment that we need to make this journey towards the homeland shore. Dear Father, thou knowest all things, and certainly thou knowest all of our cares, our trials and temptations, the needs that we have. So we plead, dear Father, that thou would come close unto us through thy word, that we might receive that courage to continue in faith. Dear Father, we thank thee for thy kingdom, for thy holy word, for the fellowship of thy children. And we thank thee most of all for giving us thy dear Son, in whom we have the hope of eternal life. We thank thee also for the many temporal blessings, those things that you have given us that are needful for this life and body. We raise our hearts and thanks unto thee for all these things. Dear Father, we also wish to pray for those prodigal children who have once been partakers of thy kingdom, whose places are empty at the services where they once sat. We pray that thou would yet call them, that again they might enter into thy kingdom through repentance and the forgiveness of sins, through thy dear Son, who is both shepherd and also the door to the sheepfold. We pray for all people, for the people of our nation, that they too, in this time of visitation, would have their hearts open to seek for thee, a gracious God. We pray for peace in our nation, for our leaders of government, that we might be able to continue to gather together, most importantly, into the hearing of thy holy and precious word, and that we might continue to openly proclaim this word unto the people of our time. We pray even as thy Son has taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I thought that we could take for our study this evening God's word, which is recorded in the first epistle of John, the first part of the first chapter and a little bit into the second chapter, I'm sure that you will recognize a part of this text as being a familiar text, and also part of which we hear every time we gather into the Lord's Holy Supper. But we will read starting with verse 6 in Jesus' name. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. This text came to mind earlier in the week, and it was just today that Brother Randy and I switched turns to, I was not supposed to speak this evening, he wasn't, I was supposed to speak later in the month, and so we switched turns, but I had been thinking about part of this text ever since the summer services, which we all had to rejoice over and find that God was good. And we had those feelings of peace and joy, happiness that are found here in God's kingdom, the fruits of God's Spirit in our life. So we certainly have much to be thankful for that we can be part of God's kingdom, be in the light of His holy and living word. As our brother said this morning, and I've heard that very much during the week, of course I work there in the LLC office as a full-time employee, and we had to many times speak about the services and including the work of love and joy that the Cokato congregation did there at these services. And it was quite evident that there was much joy and the desire to serve God's kingdom that came forth through the children of God here in Cokato. The reason I thought about this text is I'm not sure if you had gone to the Monday morning services or if you're able to be there, or perhaps work called you away, but one of the services there was by Phoenix's new pastor, Hari Vaha Yulka. And after Hari went back to Phoenix, I sent him an email and mentioned to him that I had spoken to my own children and And you could say, said the obvious, that God has spoken through him in such a teaching and clear way about the matter of the, of course, the forgiveness of sins, but how sin does attach to us. And even as a small boy, he learned that lesson of the temptation of sin. And if you were not able to listen to that service in personally or have not yet, and it's very instructive for, I think, especially for young people and children. But I had to say, when I wrote to him and had the email, that I was also sad. And I had these feelings of sadness, which maybe I should not have had in one sense. But I thought back to the time of my childhood, and I grew up in God's kingdom, and I had a believing mother and stepfather. But we didn't have those kind of teachings at home about what to do about sin. And we were warned about the major matters of course, stealing and dances and movies and the temptation of the time. But I don't recall that we were ever taught that, so what if sin besets you, or what if sin attaches to you? What do you do about it? I remember, of course, that happening. I did the things that were, you could say, mildly mischief-making, but sometimes it was more than that, and other things, and had a troubled conscience, but I didn't know what to do about it, other than make promises that I wouldn't do those things, but that is not, or do those things again. But that is, of course, not how we care for matters of conscience. So that was the sadness that I had, that I did not know as a youth how to handle those matters, because it was not clear, I suppose, to my parents. So there was much pain that took place in my life of faith. But it is such a good time that we live, brothers and sisters, that so many of these matters are clear. That when we fall into sin, we have that privilege. It's not a requirement, and of course we are not saved by confession, or the details of the confession, or anything like that. But when we have this gift that we can, or encouragement, that we can go and speak about what does take place and how the wound has taken place, it is a very precious time that we live in God's kingdom now, when these matters that were 40 years ago not so clear for the youth, and not so clear even for adults of that time, that now we know what to do about sin. That's what our text speaks about, the matter of sin. And of course, it's when I was thinking of this text, which we haven't even started to study so closely, but I one time made a mission trip to the East Coast, and I sat next to a person who was a man who was actually, quite obviously, he was a pastor someplace, because he had a collar that indicated that he is a pastor. And I made up my mind that I wasn't going to start any conversations about the matters of faith with him, but he folded down the table or the back of the seat, and he wrote on that a piece of paper, the kingdom of God. And then I became feeling that I should say something, and I asked him that, do you know, or that I see you have written the kingdom of God, and what does that mean to you? And where is the kingdom of God in your thought? And so we had a long conversation, but when it came to the matter of sin, of course he did not know correctly what to do about sin. And so we talked, and it came to mind, and it still is very vivid, as a couple seats up on the opposite side, there was a younger woman who was obviously listening to our conversation about what do you do about sin. And she was so much so that she was almost half out of her seat trying to catch each word. So, of course, sin is the reality of life because we are human. But we, more importantly, have the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. And when we think about the matters of our text, which touch closely on sin and what is sin and what do we do about sin, the confession of sin, we remember what Luther taught us about confession even, consists of two parts. One that we confess our sin, and the other is that we receive absolution or forgiveness for our sins. And that's of course the greater part, is that we can hear that our sins are forgiven. But John, the apostle, lived in a time when in the kingdom of God there was difficulties. There was many of the writings of John as well as Paul. They spoke about a situation that historians have called Gnosticism, and it comes from the Greek meaning knowledge. And there was element within the kingdom at that time that was consumed by knowledge, that and so much so that they felt that it was more important, that it was not sufficient just to believe by the power of the gospel, but that you needed that little bit more knowledge to be a true believer. And of course they became very carnal in their understandings. So John, when he wrote these words, it's with that kind of backdrop or setting of the time that he lived in. So as we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we perhaps in our youth, at least as older ones, we remember the speakers of times past speaking this way, that you can't walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. That doesn't work. That one is eventually goes into this world and loses the hope of salvation. So this is kind of you could call it a little bit of a test in a way. That if we walk, if we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, or we lie, we're deceiving ourselves if we think that we can do both. It's not possible. Sometimes we hear that description nowadays of to be in the middle of the flock or the center of the flock, and it pictures for us that we don't want to be experimenting on the perimeter of God's kingdom, we might say. And I think that that's a good description. I've also thought, too, in this way that there are many that struggle in faith, and the most important thing is to be in God's kingdom, to be in the care of God's kingdom and the hearing of His word and in the walk of faith. And maybe that's a good way to describe it too, that remain in God's kingdom. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So here again, He gives kind of like a conditional statement, we could say. If we walk in the light of God's Word, as He, Jesus, is in that light, then we're going to have fellowship with each other, one another. It's going to work that way, that if we're walking in mutually in the light of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, call it the grace that comes through God's Spirit to teach us here in the congregation, and also to teach us from inside our heart, that we're going to feel like we're one people, one body of Christ. We'll have that fellowship, not just only, or we certainly have fellowship of visiting, which is important, but we oftentimes visit about more earthly matters. But we have that fellowship of the heart that we are partakers of the same holy calling. That's what this walk of faith or walking in the light means, that we have fellowship one with another. But then he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That takes place too, when we mutually are making this journey and we live of the forgiveness of sins. We put sin away as sin attaches, and we find that, just like Paul said, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That is where it lies. And that's why it's such a blessed thing that we know what to do about sin when sin has attached. We don't have to be like I was when I was a boy, a young person. I didn't know. I was not taught. I was taught to avoid sin, but I was not taught very clearly what do I do about sin when sin attaches and makes the journey slow. But we have in God's kingdom, of course, the throne of grace, and what we all know what that means. We have brothers and sisters in faith that we can go and talk to about what has occurred, even the defeats, even the sin that has attached to us. We can speak of that and how it has not gone so well at times, and we can ask for, or maybe our friends will already offer the gospel to us, that we can already believe our sins forgiven, and we can then talk. But it's really that whole matter of confession is this way, that we can hear the gospel for a specific matter, a matter that's we can't seem to become free of. So it is a great gift. John continues, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Later he says in the verses, and it's very interesting, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So in a way it seems like he's repeating himself. But it also seems to me that There's a very instructive difference in the way that he has written in these two certain sentences. If we say we have no sin, and it's not at that point speaking of named sins, when we understand we have noticed that we are sinful. And if we say that I have no sin, but rather we notice that we are sinful, that we are totally corrupt in our carnal being, that we are full of sin, that's the way that we are. And I think it's so important to realize that in ourselves, that it's not just that we have committed a named sin, that he says here later, if we say we have not sinned, but and committed a what we call a named sin, or a sin that we can call by name or describe, but that we are sinful, that it's important for us to realize that because of the fall of our parents into sin, Adam and Eve, all the generations that have come, that we have now in our time, we are very, very much corrupt in our being, in our totality of that our tendency is always to do that which is evil. If we did not have the Holy Spirit teaching and guiding us, we were left to ourselves, we would soon be gone from God's kingdom. So if we realize that we are full of sin and realize that this voice is that some voice that comes from the enemy or even our own self to tempt us, go in some direction to, I could say, experiment or to think as that voice might say that it's not that big of a deal. It's not, and well, others do it too. So we have that battle of the Spirit of God that's speaking to us too, in that small, quiet voice of our conscience that we hear there and which speaks and resonates in our conscience through the living Word of God. We hear that voice and we have that tendency that we have, the lust of the flesh, the desire of the human portion to do that which will lead us away from God's kingdom. So he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we don't find ourselves to be sinful, we're deceiving, we're lying to ourselves. And the truth of God is not in us. I one time on the African mission trip met a person who relates to the second part of what we spoke of. He said he had not sinned since some day in 1945. And course, that to us is absurd or impossible. But he thought that was the last time in his life he had sinned. And of course, when I visited him, he was an old man. Because we are the children of God and we live in God's kingdom and we are in the hearing of God's word, we know that we are sinful and we carry much corruption. And he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here we know that it says he will forgive us our sins, and I tried that at one time in my life too, that would pray to God to forgive my sins, because again I didn't know of so clearly of the availability of the throne of grace and God's kingdom. But of course that doesn't alleviate our conscience. But what we can understand here is certainly God forgives our sins, but he has provided for us that means by which we can speak of the way and the journey and receive the forgiveness of sins. We could say when the brother or sister preaches to us, or when a brother preaches from the pulpit to the hearers of the word, that you can believe your sins forgiven, that is forgiveness. That is the message of forgiveness. It's not just a nice reminder that, but it is the preaching of forgiveness. But in our hearts, we find that, can I believe this in my heart? That it's not the question of did Jesus die for our sins. He certainly did. Did he pay for the debt of all sins? It is true. But when sin becomes an obstacle to faith, then it is good to go and speak to a brother and sister in faith and speak about what that has caused that obstacle. So we make our journey that way, and it's good. It's such a, we could say, for the practical life of faith, maybe that's not even the right word, but for the life of faith, we need to be warned about sin and what to do about it if we have fallen into sin. And of course, if we looked up, in the Greek language, that word sin, there's a couple of different definitions to it, but one that I remember the most often is that it's a deviation from the path. And so we can so easily see that our path is the way to heaven. And anything that causes us to go off then is defined in that way, that it is a sin. It's caused us to lose our way. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Just like the gentleman in Africa that he had sinned for 40 or 50 years. It means that the Spirit is not, light of God's Word and God's Spirit is not teaching in the heart. But the Spirit teaches us to put away sin. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. That was the hope of John. I'm not sure why when he was speaking to adults he used the term my little children, but he very likely could have meant the children of God, and likely and that includes the children of God, and maybe to John, who was quite old, maybe everyone seemed like a child or much younger. But certainly we can understand it, that he speaks in a loving way to us, that I write these things that you would not sin. And that is what God's Word teaches us, that we would avoid sin and fight against sin. And that is our hope. But then he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So there I can relate, even though he says any man sin, even as a young person, I wish that somebody would have taught that to me more closely, that if I once sins, that remember that we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ, that we don't have to remain in our sins and try to journey that way, but that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and that we can care for our sins and hear that precious blessing of the gospel. And he is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so he died for the sins of all and for ours. And so through him, through his grace work, we have the hope of eternal life. So, dear brothers and sisters, again, it is such a blessed thing that we can be in God's kingdom. We can't thank God enough for this calling to be a child of God and to have the hope of eternal life. And may he guide us in our life of faith to remain here in this kingdom. And if sin does beset, that we would remember that Jesus has died for our sins, and you know, we would, with troubled conscience, seek those friends in faith who we can go to and again hear that gospel and be free of those matters that beset us. The kingdom, the children of God, they have much flesh and blood. And one time when I was traveling on the East Coast, a brother out there, Paul Sorbo, gone to his rest, and probably you older ones knew him somehow, we used to visit a lot, and he said his mother, who had lived to be 100+, that said that there's nothing that happens in the world that doesn't happen in God's kingdom too. And that, when I heard that, I wasn't sure if I believed that is that possible, because so many evil things can happen in this world. But we find that God's children can sometimes fall deeply too. But again, here in God's kingdom is the throne of grace. And I very much like the description that a Finnish writer had made years ago, and I can't credit that person because I don't remember anymore who it was, but he had wrote in this way, that the throne of grace is the most precious piece of furniture that there is in the believing family. That's pictured in that way, and he went on to say that it's further, it can be erected on a moment's notice, which of course means that when there is need in the family, between mother, father, or children, parents, or whoever it may be, that it's there. It's that close, that we can go and be comforted with the gospel for our doubts and failings and even sins that have attached. So, dear brothers and sisters, again this evening, be assured of the power of God in your life, the power of the gospel. The gospel is that the greatest weapon that we have against the enemy of the soul, and it's that one message that he does not ever want to be said or uttered by believers and does not want to hear it, that brother, sister, believe your sins forgiven, or we could say husband, wife, dear one, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, because then he has no answer to that proclamation, because sins are forgiven. So uplift your heart to believe personally the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood. Believe unto peace and freedom and unto joy. And I ask for that same blessing for my own part, that can you preach that gospel to me? I promise to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our services for this evening by uniting our hearts into the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.